All right, I'm going to exhort you, if I may, over the offering, and I'll try to be quick as I possibly can, while still getting across what I believe the Holy Spirit would have for us this morning. If you want to open your Bibles with me to John, the sixth chapter, this is a chapter that I think we're all familiar with. It's the feeding of the 5,000 and an amazing conversation that occurs immediately following that really conveys so much of what God has for us and what God wants to say to us. One of the things that we see in this particular passage is that there is a tremendous conflict between God and the religious spirit. And if there's any religious spirit in you, let it lose. Okay, let God win. All right, let's just start here in the first verse. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. Why did they follow him? They saw the miracles. This is a significant piece of this chapter. They saw the miracles, so they were following him. And it says here in verse 3 that he went into the mountains where he sat with his disciples. He goes off into the wilderness. And even though he's off in the wilderness, they follow him. Could you imagine if all of a sudden Brother Bronk began to minister in such a way that the signs and wonders were so evident that everyone in the world began talking about it? And then he decided, I'm going to go park myself in the middle of the Sahara Desert. There's nothing around. Who would follow him? Everyone who has need. Right? They would follow him out there. Well, hallelujah, this is what's happened. People have seen, they've been witnesses to the miracles that Jesus has been performing on them that were diseased. They follow him into the wilderness. Hallelujah. Of course, while he's ministering out there, there comes a period of time where they have a physical need. And so he meets that physical need. He feeds them. Skip down to verse 14. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, "This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world." Now, what they're referring to, and whenever you see this, and especially in John's gospel, when they're saying, "Are you that prophet?" What are they talking about? You'd have to go back to Deuteronomy 18, verse 15, when Moses prophesied saying, "There will be a prophet such as myself who will arise one day." He was prophesying the Messiah. And so they're saying, "This is of a truth, this is the prophet." But it's for the wrong reasons that they were saying this. It's for the wrong reasons that they were acknowledging that Jesus must be that prophet. Verse 15, when Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. So the next morning they wake up and he's gone. What do? They start searching all over the place for him. Why? Because they want to make him king. He's that prophet. They finally find him on the other side of the sea. And when they find him, they say, "Hey, when did you get here?" Verse 26, Jesus answered them and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled." Why did they follow him into the wilderness? Because they saw the miracles that he wrought on those who were diseased. But now they're chasing after him, seeking after him, not for that reason, but because of a completely different reason, their bellies were filled. How many times have we done that, where we've chased after God just to get our bellies filled? Jesus says, "Labor not for the meat which perishes, but for that meat which endures unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him has God the Father sealed." So here they are, they're chasing after Jesus. Their motive has completely changed, and Jesus tells us what their motive is. When he says, "Verily, verily," every time Jesus says, "Verily, verily," what he's basically saying is, "I'm going to tell you a truth that I know and understand. This is truth. I'm an authority on this subject. Pay attention to what I have to say." And so when Jesus says that, we need to pay attention. What is he saying? He's saying, "You're chasing after me for one reason alone, to fill your bellies. I'm telling you, do not labor for that." You know, if you've had any kind of need in your life that became a significant issue, it is hard to not allow that to become the only thing you think about all the time. You know, there was a long season where Jamie and I were, it just seemed, as Brother Gary would say, you know, money was staying away in great abundance. And it felt like every once in a while, money would come in, a little bit of money would come in, but it was never enough to fill the pit that need had created. It's kind of like there was a big hole in the backyard that you got to fill. It's this gigantic pit, 10 feet deep, 20 feet deep, and every once in a while you get to dump a little bucket of dirt into it. You're never going to fill it. And that's the way it felt. And it came to the point where, without realizing it, my continuous or my near constant interaction with the God, with the Lord, was to get my need fulfilled. I was laboring for meat. I was trying to get my belly filled. It was no longer about having a relationship. I didn't even realize I was doing it. But everything was about getting this dealt with, getting this dealt with. Every prayer, every thought, every time of worship was, I love you because you're my provider. Everything was about getting that need met. What if your child was sick with a disease that may be unto death, but even on the way onto that potential death, it's suffering and pain and horror for that child? Would your need, would your mind not be stayed on that need every day, every moment of your waking hours? Wouldn't you dream of this? You would. And yet Jesus is saying, understand this. Don't labor for that which perishes. That which perishes are the things of this natural world. The scriptures declare to us that this world does not continue beyond a set time. There's a day in which even our very bodies will be consumed. There will be nothing left. We're going to receive a new body, a glorified body. This body will perish. This earth, it's going to perish. Nothing that we have here, anything that we would seek to own and to have, you know, a great big house and a boat and a car, and all that's going to perish. All of it's going to perish. And Jesus is saying, don't labor for that. Labor for that which is eternal. Hallelujah. To me, it totally sounds like Matthew 6. Why don't you turn over there with me, please? Matthew 6, verse 31, Jesus says, therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all of these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You know, I used to read this and think, because it was like an employee's mindset. If I do what God wants me to do, he'll reward me. That's not what he's saying. He's saying part of being in my kingdom is these things are provided for you. You're seeking after for, or you're laboring for meat that perishes, when really, if you seek after that which is eternal, this is added unto it. This is part of it. It's not a remuneration. It's just yours. When the girls come home after school, hopefully they greet us. Hi, I love you. Sometimes they don't. But anyways, after dropping off their backpacks and washing up and whatever, the first thing they do is they get a snack. And they don't come up to us and say, may I please have, or can I have this, or whatever, unless it's something specific, like, you know, we hosted people on Monday, and we said, listen, check with us before you eat stuff, because some things have been purchased in advance for this lunch. For example, we had some cream cheese, because it was going to be part of a recipe. It's called Oreo Heaven. If you haven't had it, it's great stuff. But one of the ingredients is cream cheese. And thankfully, Becky checked, can I have the cream cheese on my bagel? No, it's for the Oreo Heaven. Okay. But aside from that, if they're hungry, they eat. It's there. Now, some people say, well, that wasn't my experience. Listen, this is who God is. If you have need, you help yourself, because he's already given it to you. Okay? This is how it is in our house. This is how it was growing up for Jamie, for me. You have a need, what's mine is yours. I can tell you right now, Mike and Donna, Jamie's parents are here. They would mortgage their future for their kids. Does that make sense? What's theirs is ours. I know that. Okay. So seek first the kingdom, and these things are added on, not because you sought the kingdom in terms of here's your reward for being obedient. This is just part and parcel, okay? So Jesus says, labor not for the bread that perishes, but seek after eternal life. Hallelujah. Turn with me to Matthew 15. When does eternal life start? It's already here. If you've received Jesus, you're in the kingdom, you have it. Which means that those things that are in the kingdom are already ours, right? Thank you, Jesus. Matthew 15, verse 21. Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she cries after us. I guess they were getting annoyed with her. But he answered and said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. Then she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is your faith, be it unto you even as you will. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. So I used to read this passage and be very confused because it sure sounds like Jesus is now being very kind. In fact, being extremely cruel. Here's a woman who is desperate for her daughter. And if you've been a parent or a grandparent, what would you not do for your child? And how desperate have you been in occasions of turmoil or anguish or pain that your children have gone through? So here she is, she's pursuing Jesus, and I could just see this woman, please, please, you must do something. And finally Jesus replies and says, I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Man, what? I've often wondered, well, this doesn't make any sense. He healed a centurion's servant. He healed, you know, other people who were Gentiles. So what's the deal here? It's because God was trying to make a point here. She says, she comes and she worships before him, and he says, it's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. And this is where I want to get to today. She's asking him for healing, and he equates healing with the bread that belongs to the children. Who are the children? The children of Israel, those who were in a covenant with God. They were in a covenant relationship with God, and he says, healing is their bread. Okay. Finally, you know, she exposes the level of faith that she's operating in, and he says, ah, yes, all right, your daughter is healed. The point I'm getting at is this. Healing is bread. Healing for what? Healing for a body that will perish. This is a perishable thing. All these things that we would seek after God, they're already, he's saying, don't labor for them. I've already taken care of it. This is your bread. This is what I am supplying to you because you have need of it before you even ask for it. Press into the kingdom. Once you realize who you are in the kingdom, you'll realize this is your bread. This is for you to eat. Why? Because now we have a covenant with God. And if we're in a covenant relationship with God, then we can go into the kitchen, open the refrigerator, and take as much as we need whenever we need it. Whether it's financial provision to make the mortgage payment, or whether it's healing because there's aught in our body, or whether it's emotional deliverance because we're suffering under something. Whatever it might be, that's our bread. All the time. And we don't have to somehow get God to give it to us. If Michaela came into the kitchen and took an apple out of the fridge and then gave me a dollar for it, I would wonder, what is happening? What? Well, I just want to... No! You know, every once in a while it's happened where because of lack and so forth, we've kind of had to borrow from Peter to pay Paul and, you know, do the things that sometimes you do to try to make things happen. And Michaela's like, well, I can pay for this. No! This is a father's honor to be able to do things for his kids. Hallelujah. This is our bread.